90 years old. Happy birthday to the Chinese Communist Party. It is the world's largest political party, a membership of more than 80 million. And supposedly the membership is up to record numbers today. Michael Bristow joins us now from Beijing, a reporter for our partner, the BBC. And Michael, I understand that today's going to be one of the largest sing-alongs in history.
Yes, in fact, there's been red songs, as they're called, these communist songs, taking place all over the country in the weeks leading up to this special day, the day when the Communist Party celebrates its 90th anniversary. Last couple of days, there was a gala performance here in central Beijing. And today, to mark this occasion, there was the main ceremony was held at the Great Hall of the People here in central Beijing, where the party, the main bigwigs of the party, got together, and Hu Jintao, the president of the country and also the leader of the Communist Party, gave a keynote speech in which he laid out the achievements of the party over the last 90 years and some of the problems and challenges it faces or it's going to face over the next coming years.
Michael Bristow with our partner, the BBC, there in Beijing. And you went to what's considered to be the birthplace of the Communist Revolution.
Yes, that's in Yan'an. This is a place where the communists ended up in 1935 after a long march in which they were attacked by the enemy they were fighting in the civil war here in China. And they basically planned their takeover of China from this very inland and remote place. And today, it's kind of a pilgrimage which people go onto this sacred spot to see how the Communist Party did it. They lived in very austere and harsh conditions. They lived in caves carved out of the mountainside, Mao and his colleagues, his senior colleagues, and it was from there that they planned the takeover of China, which many people even at the time thought was an incredible and a ridiculous idea, but that's what they did, and that's why people go there today, to try and find out how it all started.
Well, actually, we have a clip of your report from Yan'an. Let's take a listen here.
In Yan'an, the communist victory in China's civil war is reenacted twice a day. This colourful performance has heroism, sacrifice and blood. The message is clear. The Communist Party saved China. That propaganda is fed to the young. Dressed in military outfits, they sing and dance in praise of the party. This young performer says the show's there to remind people of the party's achievements.
That's a report from Michael Bristow, who is on with us live from Beijing, a reporter with our partner, the BBC. You know, Michael, we started this hour by questioning sort of how communist is communist China when at this point it's less about guns and revolutions than it is about buying up U.S. Treasury debt and manipulating currency, which all seems pretty capitalist to me.
Well, it is. I mean, the Chinese there would argue that they're not manipulating their currency, but that's another point. But it is. It's certainly moved away. 30 years ago, the Chinese communists, they essentially abandoned many of their old policies and moved towards capitalism. They allowed farmers to grow and sell their own food. They allowed businesses to start up. Money's traded and loaned out. Very much the same as it's done in America, very much as it's done around the rest of the capitalist world. There is perhaps one aspect in which the Communist Party still is communist in that the party itself, it's something that perhaps Lenin or Stalin would recognise. It's a very disciplined, organised, secretive organisation which rules the country it's changed its policies, but it rules the country in very much the same way it's always ruled China, and ultimately it uses force to maintain its position at the top of the country here.
That's Michael Bristow, a reporter for our partner, the BBC. He joins us from Beijing. Thank you so much, Michael. Also with us today is Steve Dunaway, adjunct senior fellow at the Council on Foreign Relations, formerly deputy director of the Asia and Pacific Department at the International Monetary Fund. And since we're speaking about buying up debt, Steve, it appears that some of the actions of the Chinese government has caused the Treasury Department to change its rules about how they conduct government bond auctions. Was the Treasury Department concerned about how much debt China was buying?
No, not the overall amount. You know, the Chinese are welcome to buy as much U.S. debt as they like. The problem was more technical in terms of in any individual auction for a specific Treasury issue. Treasury has a rule that no one should hold more than 35% of the issue, so that they can't manipulate the price on that issue. It goes back to an incident in the late 1980s that was made famous by Michael Lewis's book, Liar's Poker, when Solomon Brothers managed to corner almost the entire auction for a couple issues of Treasury bonds. And so the Treasury, the Chinese were using an indirect method of bidding on the Treasury bonds in some of the auctions, and there was concern that they were taking more than 35%. At the same time, Treasury went to great pains in announcing the rule change, not to point a finger at China or any other central bank.
Well, why would China want to do that? Why? What would be their interest in buying up more than 35% of these issues?
Well, I don't think they had an interest in terms of buying up 35% of a specific issue in order to manipulate the market. It's just that given the very rapid buildup in Chinese reserves, at any point in time, they need to make very large purchases of U.S. Treasuries. So I'm sure in some cases that entailed that maybe they were buying a bit more than 35%.
Steve Dunaway is an adjunct senior fellow at the Council on Foreign Relations, formerly the deputy director of the Asia and Pacific Department at the International Monetary Fund. Steve, I want to put to you the same question that I asked Michael Bristow, which is, do you also believe, as Michael does, that China has basically abandoned most of its communist principles, and we're talking, for the most part, about a capitalist country here?
In essence, but it's still a kind of capitalism, as they say, with Chinese characteristics. If nothing else, the Communist Party in China has been very pragmatic, and they know that to retain power, they had to improve the economy, and that's what they've done over the last 30 years. But they still maintain a very strong grip over the economy.
That's Steve Dunaway, adjunct senior fellow at the Council on Foreign Relations, talking about the 90th birthday of the Chinese Communist Party being celebrated all over China today, being celebrated in the U.S. Treasury Department with some new rules on how government bond auctions go. China, of course, holds a great deal of U.S. debt.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.